Okay, today is July the 14th, 2015. Is that right? I said 14th. Don't make me nervous, you know. I tell the date and y'all are out there going, make me nervous. See, I was right. I got to make sure y'all know that because a lot of times I'm not. Not sometimes. A few times. Rarely. Pardon? Okay. Dr. Bob was right as well. So y'all back off. Okay. Let's pair ourselves in our usual fashion. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer, which gives us the opportunity to focus and concentrate, have an open mind, and be open to truth. Truth exists in every area of life. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness and for your guidance, for your power, for your love, your grace. Help us to recognize this time on this planet is all about you. It's not about us. If we're going to be good servants, good ambassadors, then we have to learn and we have to grow. We have to apply what we learn. We can't do that apart from your enabling power. So we pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate, for we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. A lot of times, Carrie will ask me when I leave, well, where are you going to be tonight? I'm always tempted to say at church, but that's not what she's looking for. And I will say I'm going to be, because I'm, as of late, I'm all over the place, as you may have noticed, but I'm trying to be organized. At least the last three Sundays I have a title for now, and I have part three, and it's, you can kind of get your mind around that. So when she said, where are you going to be tonight? And I said, I have no idea. Don't even try to follow me. Because I couldn't go to a particular notes or a particular PowerPoint. I'm going to be all over the place. And I hadn't decided until just a minute ago where I'm going to start. Because when you have so much to say and so many areas to draw from, it's kind of a roll of the dice. What would be best? So, you know, we're in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21 through 24, something like that, where God is commanding slaves to obey their masters. And it couldn't be at a better time, because we're looking at that very issue again here in 2001. We're talking about what the government is not forcing, but the people are, they've just gone insane. They're ignorant and they're emotional and they're doing great harm by taking the Confederate flag down off of state capital land there and so forth. And it goes even much further. Did you know that you may have seen in Galveston, they were trying to, the ACLU was trying to get the people of Galveston to take down a Confederate monument of a soldier there that was in front of the building there. And I don't remember if it was the mayor or who it was, but said, nope, not going to do it. And I say, oh, right, music to my ears. It's gone further than that. And all this over a crime that's totally unrelated to the Confederate flag, and yet it just gets momentum. And the I don't know what to call them. I'll try not to. The ignorant that knows nothing about history, know nothing about the Bible, they're out there beating the band to remove the Confederate flag. They don't know what it stood for. They don't know what the war was about. They couldn't even come within probably three decades of when the war was fought. They don't know anything about it. And I don't know if you saw the news where they took the stars and bars down in South Carolina, And they had the band and they had the people cheering and everything. And I can't remember when I was more nauseated than that. And then when they asked the people, what did they think? Of course, they had a lot of people who are on welfare. And most of them were blacks. And they were saying, and this is nothing against blacks, because some of the staunchest supporters for the Confederate flag are blacks. The ones that know something about history and know what's right and what's wrong. But they, of course, they give the microphone to some woman that says, that's been an insult to us all this time. And now we really feel like we're equal, and now we can rest. We can put these things to rest, which is just insanity. And it was just hard for me to take. So the reason I'm telling you this about slavery, we're studying about slavery, and I've given you a lot of information already, but I'm hitting current issues of the day that have to do with that. In fact, I was talking to someone right before class started. I said, you know, about 150 years ago, there was a war fought over certain issues. And those certain issues had to do mainly with states' rights, nullification, and secession. And here we are all this time later, and we are looking at these same issues right in the face, and they are not resolved. And there's going to be people who are going to be on one side and people on the other side. And by the way, even though we live in a postmodern relativistic society, there is still a right and there is still a wrong. And there, unfortunately, most people are on the wrong side because they're unlearned. They are willfully ignorant. There's no excuse for anybody today to not know about our history, about our founding, and all these other things are for free. You can get them all over the place, on the internet, libraries, you name it, you could do it. But they're full of emotion and very little, if any, knowledge. And so what I thought I would do is just start out with some headlines of the day. This is not an unusual day. This is a regular day with these kind of headlines. I need someone to turn off the lights for me. Okay. All the way to the right. There you go. That one? First one? Do the second one. There you go. All right, can y'all see that? I can make it a little bit bigger. But I'm going to make it bigger if you don't read ahead. If you want to keep my blood pressure where it's supposed to be, stay with me. I threatened more than once that I'll just take the notes off all the way if people continue to read ahead. Okay, here's the first one. Boy Scouts Executive Committee unanimously voted to end gay leadership ban. And then it has a little blurb here. It says, a key leadership panel of the Boy Scouts of America voted unanimously last week to end the ban on gay leaders in scouting. And the organization told leaders on Monday, I have lost all respect for the Boy Scouts of America. Not for the scouts, but for the leadership. And leadership can be the ruin of an organization, and it can be the ruin of a nation as well. And if the people, if the parents of the boys that are in the Boy Scouts don't rise up and hold them accountable, then they are just as in the wrong as the leaders are. Now, there were a lot of people who just left. But for the Boy Scouts, they will never be the same now, ever. They have tarnished themselves and aligned themselves with darkness, perversion, and evil. And all the high standards and all the wonderful things they used to do now don't mean a thing because they are on the wrong side. The next one, Pentagon readying plan to lift a transgender ban. The Pentagon leaders are finalizing plans aimed at lifting the ban on transgender individuals in the military with the goal of formally ending one of the last gender or sexually based barriers to military service. This is just blather, the way they present this. And I just thought about something. I better say it before I forget. I have printouts here, up here, right in front of the pulpit, and in the library of Dr. Jim's schedule. Remember I showed you that Sunday? And I thought it'd probably be a good idea to print those out and people could just take them and not have to try to find it or make notes or anything. So they're here and in the library. And I was on the Dr. Jim show today because starting today and for I think it's 6 more weeks, he's going to interview me on Tuesday instead of Monday. And I have that on the here as well. And he asked me to also be with him again this Thursday. And so I said that I would. And we were handling different issues today. And the one that I was really wanting to get into that I think is very relevant and helps you see in a correct perspective what's going on, I didn't get to it today, and I'm going to address that Thursday. So that will be Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. I'll be on the Jim Brittell Show again. And I'm addressing that issue that I was going to do tonight, but I said I'll just wait and do it on the Dr. Jim Show. And so if you want that, it'll be at 9 o'clock. If you miss it, you can go on the Dr. Jim website. You ought to be having, if you have a computer, have him emailing you the times that he has the show that you miss, and you can get on Podomatic and just go right through it. In fact, some people like to do that better because they can stop and run back. They can, what did he say? And then just, you know, click back a little bit and do that. So the schedules are here and over in the library. Also, tomorrow, Wednesday, is when Bill Rawls comes on. And I'm telling you, you just don't know what you're missing if you haven't heard him. And the discussions are just priceless. And you learn so much. That's going to be on tomorrow. And then tomorrow afternoon, I guess it's around 7 it starts, Dr. Jim is going to do a webcast. And he's going to take some of the notes that I've been teaching from and go from that. And that's tomorrow night at 7. Now, if you don't have a webcast, you have to have a link to get to the webcast. And if you would just go to the Christian Way of Life Church.org. And if you just get it on the internet and Google the Christian Way of Life Church, it will take you to his website. At the scroll down the bottom, you have his email and his telephone. You can either call him or email him and say, I want to have the links to the WebEx sent to me. And then he WebExes, I think, at least 3 or 4 times a week. And he will send that link to you, and you can click on it and get to it. So that's going to be tomorrow on Wednesday. Y'all got all that? And they're here, and they're back over in the in the library as well. Okay, so what they're saying here is we've been so sexually biased, we've been so prejudiced, we've been so discriminatory against perverts that now finally they're getting the last of them. We have gays, we have lesbians, now we're going to have transgenders as well. We're talking about open transgenders in order to placate the LGBT. And what they're going to do, I need to finish this. He said they have to finalize plans aimed at lifting the ban on transgender individuals in the military with the goal of formally ending one of the last. What I don't have here, I had it on my other notes, is that they have to figure out how are they going to deal with these people for the medical field, in the health field. What are they going to do about housing? What are they going to do about transitioning them into the regular army? There's a lot of issues that they're going to have to face and figure out because they're continuing to not stand for what is right. And when it boils down to it, you as a believer are going to have to be the ones to do it. Individuals. Because there are very few of our politicians in office that are going to do it. So far as I can see, our governor, Greg Abbott, seems to be standing firm. And Ted Cruz seems to be standing firm. And Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of Texas, all seem to be standing more firm than anybody I've seen. in the political realm, but I don't have a lot of optimism that that's going to continue. Because as you're going to find out Sunday, this coming Sunday, there is a remedy, and there's very few, if any, of our political leaders that have the political will and the integrity to stand firm and use the remedies, which one is nullification. And a lot of people think that's horrendous, and I'm going to handle that Sunday. So when they're not doing it, who's left? Us. It's nice when someone interposes that the magistrate between you and the tyranny, but if that's not there, really they should be removed from office as well because they're not upholding their oath to office. But God still does not say, okay, well, since nobody else is doing it, you don't have to do it. No, it's still incumbent upon us to stand for truth and righteousness regardless whether anyone else does or not. And so what you have here are these people in the Pentagon, these military leaders, who are acquiescing. It's not political expediency. I guess you would say it would be cover your bottom. Don't lose your pension. All these other things are factors that enter into this. So now we're going to have transgenders in there as well. The next thing we had here was Democrats moved to strike husband and wife from federal law. Have y'all heard this one? By the way, all these happened yesterday. It was the 13th. A lot of bad things happened on 13, and I'm not superstitious, but the Federal Reserve was in 1913. That's when it came about. The income tax came about in 1913. And what is the other one? Something else on the... The what? Well, the income tax. Oh, the 17th Amendment as well, where they used to appoint senators and now they're elected, and that was a disaster. All those things happened on the 13th. Well, yesterday was the 13th, and we have the Pentagon waffling and caving in. The Boy Scouts vote unanimously to have homosexual leaders, scout leaders, and now you have. I'll just read this part. Wasting little time, Democrats in Congress are already proposing legislation to replace the words husband and wife in the federal code with gender-neutral language reflective of the Supreme Court's June 26 pronouncement that married couples in the United States need no longer consist of male and female. Now, this means that the judges in courts, the attorneys, everybody involved in that will no longer be saying husband and wife. If this bill passes, then they will be saying spouses and maybe partners are. Significant others are neutral gender. On July 8th, Representative Lois Capps, a Democrat, oh, what a surprise, from California, oh, what a surprise, introduced the Amend the Code of Marriage Equality Act, which she said in a press release would strike the use of gendered terms such as husband and wife from the federal code and replace them with more gender-neutral terms such as spouse and married couple. Probably will be significant other and all these other things. Now, I said this morning when Dr. Jim was interviewing me on his show, but I'll say it again to you because I don't know if any of you heard it. I think some of you probably did. But what makes this so dastardly is that after a period of time when people are no longer using the term husband and wife, it fades from memory. And we think with words, and we change the words, or refuse, not allowed to, or you don't use other words that are correct, it changes your thinking. And they know that, and that's why they're changing the words. They can't do it in public yet, but they are going to be able to force it in courts and probably throughout the whole government. I told you last Sunday that there is a move underfoot to vet people before they take government jobs. And if you have any background, if they can find anything in your past that they would say is discriminatory towards homosexuals, you won't get hired. That movement is already there. I'm telling you, this is a tsunami since this court case has taken place, and it's only been a week or so, and already these things are starting to happen, and it's just the beginning. Now let me go to this other thing before. Let's see where this is. Three what? Oh yeah, well I've got something on that. It's coming up. here it is. Here's another one that came up. This is in New America. I don't know if I'll read this whole thing, but this is the whole report here. I'm not going to give you this whole report, but this was in the New American Magazine. Democrats move to strike husband and wife from federal law, and it goes through all this, and it's saying, here's where it said this, Garth. I'll read this paragraph here. Despite these seemingly broad-minded remarks, the Senate bill actually stops far short of full marriage equality. The act would replace husband or wife with spouse or married individual, one person, and husband and wife with married couple, two people. But why? By the left's logic, should marriage be restricted to two people? The Supreme Court stated in the Obergefell decision that Americans have a constitutional right to, listen to this, quote, to define and express their identity, end of quote. So if, say, one man and six women wish to define their identity as a marital unit, why should the tax code, or for that matter, the rest of the federal law, continue to enshrine prejudice and discrimination against their desire for, as the court put it, love, fidelity, devotion, sacrifice, and family? In other words, remember when we were going over Sunday before last, and I had all the PowerPoints, and I said, America is waging war on God, and here are some of the battle slogans, and what was the first one? Love is love. And this is being promulgated, it is being pushed by the media, and you hear people saying it all over if you're paying attention. And what that is if love is love, if you want to have four wives, or if a woman wants to have three husbands, or whatever it may be, who's to say otherwise? Because after all, love is love. And that's really what it's all about. They have no idea, not even an inkling that even comes into their radar screen, anything about morality or anything about what God has to say about the matter. Some of these things, it's so hard for me to read and then even to read it to you, because they're talking about the Supreme Court has redefined marriage. Well, I think I'm going to get to that one. Anyway, Garth, that's the one that I was looking at that I remember going to that. But back over here. Here's one here. By the way, this was all on today, and I just took a little sampling of what was there. Two Christian colleges extend employment benefits to same-sex spouses. That was yesterday as well. And it says, two Christian colleges located in the states that had their same-sex marriage ban struck down by the United States Supreme Court, which they couldn't do, they had a right to do it, June 26th decision that nationally legalized same-sex marriage. This kind of verbiage makes everyone think, well, the Supreme Court spoke, it's the law of land now, everybody's got to comply. And none of that is so. It's like there's no remedies, and we have... people think, well, if the governor and if the state representatives and if the state senators and the attorney general of the state, if all these people say they're going to have to do it, who am I to say, well, I'm not going to comply to it. It must be the law of the land. That's the way they reason. They don't even know what the remedies are, and they don't even know what their rights are. And so where's freedom in all this mix? Gone. I told you I get riled up when I read these things. So it says, the 26th decision that nationally legalized same-sex marriage are offering employment benefits to legally recognized same-sex spouses of schools and employees. And what have I told you about the term legally or something legal? You remember one of the maxims I gave you? Maxims? Just because something is legal does not mean it's constitutional, and it does not mean that it's right. There's a difference between legal and lawful. Something that is lawful is constitutional, and it's right. Something that is legal can be a law, but just because it's a law and just because they say it's legal does not make it constitutional, does not make it moral, and does not make it right. Just so I throw that in. The Supreme Court's ruling has effectively changed the definition of marriage recognized by the state of Michigan to include same-sex couples. Therefore, the employment practices of Hope College, a small reformed liberal arts school in Holland, Michigan, and the non-denominational Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee, will both comply with their state's new legal definitions on marriage after the High Court's ruling. And that is blather. You see how they've just taken... This was a guy, the president of this Hope College in Michigan. He's the one that's writing this. And he says that both these schools will comply with their state's new legal definitions. Did the Congress of that state, did they repeal the amendment to their constitution that says marriage is of one man and one woman? Did they do that? And if the Supreme Court was using the 14th Amendment, which it was, in order to bring about their decision, which only referred to that particular case under certain circumstances, how can he say that we'll both comply with their state's new legal definitions? Who said that the Supreme Court can wave the magic wand and five out of four of them say that this is, we see this as constitutional, taking a perversion and saying now it's a guaranteed constitutional right? How does that ipso facto all of a sudden it's changed the state law? It doesn't. Do you understand that? And all these people that are handing out license and this president of this college that are doing these type of things are doing it completely unauthorized, because if you look in the state, in that state constitution, it hasn't been changed. It's still there. And they're taking it on their own because they've been brainwashed and they have no integrity. They have no spiritual vigor to stand up and say, this is wrong, we will not have it, and we're not going to give these benefits. Now, that's what they should be doing. So, we will comply with their state's new legal definitions of marriage after the High Court's ruling. We recognized early on that the Supreme Court was likely to issue a decision that would present new challenges for our college. Knapp, that's the president, that's the guy writing this blather. Knapp's email continued, after much prayer, this is a quote, after much prayer and consultation with the Board of Trustees, legal experts, lawyers, and others in Christian higher education. Oh, they're in higher education. They've got to be right. Right? I'm sorry, that's the way I see it. And there, and other Christian higher education, we determined that this continued policy serves the best interest of our college and campus community. So this horrible decision that this court made, which everybody recognizes, anybody that knows anything, it's unconstitutional, it's moral, it's anti-God, anti-Bible, all these things, these eggheads that come up and said, this is best serves the best interest of our college and campus community. That now we see, or in their mind, it's the law of the land, and we're going to follow the law, because we don't know that we not only have the right but the duty to oppose immoral, unconstitutional laws. They don't know that, or if they do, they're too afraid to stand up for it. And they might not also know that God is going to hold them accountable for it. That's what I'm telling people. And He's going to do the same to you as well and me if we side with these type of people. What is it?
Really?
Well, oh yes. I mean, it boils down to what a lot of people are avoiding to say. Is there is a right and there is still a wrong, and I don't care what the year is. And when you're on the wrong side of an issue, it offends God, especially if you're a Christian. And you don't get by with it. And these people, they use the language that sounds, oh, well, they're hiding what's really behind it. But it's so offensive to say that two men or two women that marry each other, which changes the definition of marriage, that serves the best interests of our college and community. That's what they're saying. Do you understand that? But they preface it, oh, we went to the higher education, and we went to the legal experts, and we determined this. What do you think God has to say about it? Do you even see God in here? In any of these things, God is not mentioned because He is completely and totally left out of the discussion. But I can assure you, He will not be ignored and He will not be mocked. Christian organization, no, this is my statement here at the end. I just threw this in. Christian organizations, churches, pastors, and individual Christians must choose whether they will obey immoral and unconstitutional laws or obey God. It's as simple as that. Who do you choose to obey? And ignorance is no excuse. I won't skip that one for right now. This is interesting. Donald Trump, Macy takes it in the shorts over firing. Y'all know that Donald Trump, and I'm not endorsing anybody, I'm just trying to talk about principles here. He said that Mexico is taking advantage of us because we have numbskulls for leaders and they're really our enemy. And he stood up and he just spoke, not like a politician because he's not a politician. And all the politicians and all the politico, oh, we can't have this. And they all just attacked him. And so did the stores, the Miss America pageant. They took that away from him. And golf courses and these big arenas where he owns, and they're just trying to completely do him in. Well, Macy did the same thing. They fired him. They're not going to have anything to do with him anymore. And that's what this is saying. It's saying sources connected to the department store told TMZ Macy has received complaints from approximately 30,000 customers since ending relationship with Trump nearly 2 weeks ago. We're told the store has been inundated with complaints from customers who believe the department store is unfairly punishing Trump for his views on immigration. Our sources say thousands of customers have vowed never to shop at Macy's again, and thousands of customers are cutting up their Macy credit card in protest. And Macy might not have enough brain cells to know it, but they got too politically correct. And there is a huge ocean of people in this country that have had it up to here with political correctness. And the people that are abusing those who are in power, abusing the people in this fashion, and they are. And Trump has just tapped into that. I don't know if he it was by plan or if he just stumbled onto it or what, but he's plain spoken. It's just not all the flowery gobbledygook. Okay, well, that's where I was going to start. See what we're going to know next here. Okay, I want since we're talking about, give me the lights, will you, Vidal, up here for a moment. I don't know, but they're in big time trouble because the people, it's like, y'all remember when Netflix was going to gouge the people and they were going to have you charge you for the being able to live stream on the internet as well as these other things. And the people wouldn't have it. And in mass, they were leaving Netflix. And when they found that out, they apologized and said, we were wrong, we had, you know, whatever. And that's why they're still in business, is because they came clean and they said, we were wrong on this. I think the American people are very forgiving. If you make a mistake and you own up to it, that they understand and they'll stick with you. And if Macy doesn't do that, they're in big time trouble right now as well. So since we're talking about slavery, all of you have heard about the flag coming down in South Carolina the other day. And I already spoke to that about how utterly repugnant that was to me. And so I want to give you just a little information to help you understand how absolutely unconscionable that was. You know that everything that's going on regarding the Confederate flag has no connection with this crime that was committed. And the people and the people in power that are pushing that and demanding that these flags come down are doing great harm to the history of our country. And they're placating to the emotional, ignorant people that are just using this because they think they're going to get more power doing it this way. But I hope that it goes just the other way. And so I wanted to address that since we're talking about slavery. I wanted to explain, first of all, that a lot of people don't know how the war for Southern independence began. And you know what I'm talking about when I use that term. Some people call it the Civil War, which it was not. It wasn't a war against the states. A lot of people think it started over the issue of slavery. I mean, literally, the shootings began because of that. The South had 7 states that seceded. South Carolina was the first one. And in April the 12th, 1861, is when the first shot was fired in what is known as the Civil War. It was on Fort Sumter. Fort Sumter was a fort in outside of Charleston in Charleston Bay. It's on an island, and it was to protect the city of Charleston from the attack from the sea. And so for 5 months, the South had already seceded and were telling the North, you need to evacuate the northern forts that are still here, because it's no longer the United States of America, it's the Confederate States of America. You need to leave. All of them were evacuated except that one. That was Fort Sumter. And Lincoln came into office on May the 5th, 1861. And it was just a little over a month later that he was faced with this situation. The South had sent emissaries and delegations and was just about pleading with him, you need to evacuate that fort because it's not on United States territory anymore. Well, instead of evacuating the fort, he sent a ship down there to refit it and to resupply it because they were running out of ammunition, they were running out of food. It wasn't going to be long before they'd have to give up anyway. And so before that ship got there, Jefferson Davis, who was the president of the Confederate States of America, ordered General Beauregard to shell the city because obviously the North was not going to comply. And they did that for about a day and a half. Pardon? The fort. The shelling was going. See, normally the fort was there to protect the city. But everything had changed, and now from the city, they were shelling the fort. And there was no contest. Finally, the North had to surrender. And you know how many people were killed? 0. None of them were killed. And the North had to surrender. They didn't have hardly any food anyway. All they had to do was put a barricade around it, and they would have starved to death or surrendered. And so when they were taking down the Stars and Stripes, and they were giving their last salute in a cannon, cannon volley, a barrel of powder exploded and killed one of the soldiers. That was the only person killed. In all of the battle, on either side, there was not anyone killed. So, once it was over, the Southerners told the Northern troops that if you turn around and leave and go back north and don't come back, we'll give you your arms and we will not imprison you. Which is what they did. They let those troops get on the ship that was going to come and resupply them and go back north with their weapons under the promise that they wouldn't come back. Well, that spark was all it took to ignite this horrendous war. Neither the South nor the North were prepared for war, and neither one of them had any inkling of what was going to happen. But I want to read you something. What we see here is if Lincoln would not have sent the ship to resupply him and have evacuated that fort, the war wouldn't have started then. It might have started somewhere else under other circumstances, but that's what started it. Now, I want to read you something that, just listen to this. This is a quote, and listen to this. Any people anywhere being inclined and having the power and have the right to rise up and shake off the existing government and form a new one that suits them better. This is the most valuable and most sacred right, a right which we hope and believe is to liberate the world. You know who said that? Abraham Lincoln. That was 13 years before he sent the ship down there that triggered this horrendous war. In fact, this goes on. By the way, I'm getting this out of The War Between the States, the American Uncivil War. In fact, I brought a few of my other books here on the war for Southern independence. Maybe I can get to something on one of those. 13 years later, when the Southern states wanted to exercise the right of secession, which the New England states had threatened repeatedly over the past half century, President Abraham Lincoln called it treason. This is stuff you will not get, you never got, when you went to school, when you got history as you were growing up. Did you? Did anybody get any of this? And this is just a little bitty capsule of what history is all about as far as giving it rightfully. And now here we are today, and you had all these sponsors that are taking anything with the Confederate flag off the shelves. In fact, I don't know if you knew this. I had a little blurb on it, but I didn't bring it, but I remember what it said. Did you know that Walmart, as a policy, is not selling anything with the Confederate flag on it? In fact, it was in, I don't know, it was a northern state. A lady went in there to get her nephew his senior ring, which she paid $325 for. And when she went to get it, there was just a plastic bag with a note in it, and she looked at it, and it said that the head guy, whoever it was in Walmart, said that we're not selling any more of the Confederate flag, and we have melted that ring. And they are melting senior rings with the Confederate flag on it. And I don't know what you would call that, but I would call it insanity. And if I was that woman, I think I would be a little bit on the hot side because of that. We're talking about the flag, the Confederate flag. Let me read you a few little items in here that has to do with that. This is chapter 8 of Myths of American Slavery. And it says, the flags of the Confederacy resented the aspirations of the flags of the Confederacy represented the aspirations of a brave and resourceful people. Their desire to live under a government based upon the consent of the government should be respected. This is under the flags of Confederacy by Devrin D. Cannon. The myth of the Confederate flag as the flag of slavery is without a doubt the most persistent and pervasive misconception in modern America. Very seldom do the agents of modern information, the liberal media, present information about the nature of the Confederate flag in an even-handed and impartial manner. That, by the way, never happens. When the South lost the war, the people were devastated, but they still loved their beloved South. Here's just four lines from Father Ryan, who was a priest in the Confederacy, and he wrote The Land We Love, and it says, "Land where the victor's flag waves, where only the dead are free, each link of the chain that enslaves but binds us to them and to thee." Then you have him also, he did the conquering banner. Remember, this is from a defeated South that says, "Furl that banner, for 'tis weary. Round its staff, 'tis droopy and dreary. Furl it, fold it, it is best, for there's not a man to wave it, and there's not a sword to save it, and there's not one left to lave it in the blood which heroes gave it, and its foes now scorn and brave it. Furl it, hide it, let it rest." Now, talking about, they are heaping scorn and venom on this flag. Listen to this. "The struggle for Southern independence was defended by many locally raised militia units. Often these units of young men were sent off to war carrying a unit flag made by the mothers, wives, and daughters of those men. These flags were as varied and distinct as those seen in any army in history. Oftentimes, the flags presented by the ladies would have mottos inscribed on them. If the war was being fought to preserve slavery, the mottos adopted by these do not reflect that idea. An example of a few of such mottos demonstrate that these men were fighting in what they considered to be a noble struggle for freedom and justice. Here are a few of the mottos found in the various Confederate battle flags. Arkansas." Now, I'll say the state and what the motto was. I'm not going to give you like this is Company B, 15th Infantry. I'm just going to give you the state and then the motto that was on their flags. The motto on the Arkansas flag was, "Let justice be done, though heaven falls." In Florida, "Any fate but submission." Georgia, "We yield not to our country's foes." Louisiana, "Southern rights inviolate." Maryland, "Hope is our watchword, truth our guiding star." North Carolina, in God we trust, victory or death." South Carolina, "God guide us." South Carolina, "Like our ancestors, we will be free." In Texas, "Trust in God." Another one from Texas, "Our honor and our rights." Virginia, "God and our homes." Another one for Virginia, "Sic semper tyrannis, thus ever to tyrants." Does that sound like anything that it is about preserving slavery, that the bar was over slavery? It goes on to talk about how Jefferson Davis, Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, there's a lot of these heroes that we still have bridges and schools and monuments and all these things that were revered, but no longer. "The present politically correct environment of the United States is not uncommon to hear the Confederate flag referred to as the flag of slavery. Although there are several national flags in the world today that are recognizable by reliable anti-slavery groups as flags of nations that promote slavery, Nevertheless, it, the Confederate flag, is still the flag of a defeated, conquered nation, the Confederate States of America, that is held up to the world as the flag of slavery. I'm just trying to get through this quickly. This is the last part I'll show about this, and then I have a PowerPoint to show you real quick. In allowing one's ancestors to be incorrectly condemned as evil, hate-filled individuals upholding the commandment to honor thy father and mother, I'm sorry, I should have read that as a question, is allowing one's ancestors to be incorrectly condemned as evil, hate-filled individuals upholding the commandment to honor our father and mother. In other words, we are commanded by God to honor our father and mothers. And he's putting this in the sense of our ancestors. And he says, is allowing them to be incorrectly condemned as evil, is that honoring your father and mother as far as your ancestors? And pandering to the delusions of ignorant and the most appropriate manner. This is a question. Is pandering to the delusions of ignorance and the most appropriate manner, is that the most appropriate manner for promoting good and understanding? See, that's what happened when they took that Confederate flag down. They were pandering to the delusions of the ignorant. If people choose to be offended by a Southern symbol, or if they are possessed of a Confederate flag phobia, there is little anyone, no matter how well-intentioned he may be, can do to make such people less offended. You understand that? You can't do that. Kowtowing to the ill-founded prejudices, the misguided places one in never-ending downward spiral of historical and cultural apologies that will only end with a total debasement of a people's collective history. Christians are called upon to know the truth, for it and it alone will set you free. John 8:32. And the truth about the institution of slavery and the Confederate flag should manfully and uncompromisingly be asserted. That's just a few of the things that I was going to give you. I want to show you this about the Confederate flags. I don't know if you knew that there were many different Confederate flags. This is the first one. You can kill the lights for a moment there. This was the first Confederate flag, and it has seven stars. This is for the seven original states that seceded from the Union. And they had they changed this because they said it looked too much like the Stars and Stripes in battle, you know, at a distance and so forth. So then they went to this one. This was the second national flag. And so they have the stars and bars up here, but it still looks a little bit like the American flag, but there was too much white, and in battle it looked like that might be a flag of surrender. And so then they went to this one, and this is just a few months before the war was ended, and they put this on there, but it really didn't make much difference because they only had a few months before the war ended. Now over here are a few others. This is the battle flag of the Army of Tennessee here. This is the one that you normally see, and you'll notice this one has 13 stars because there was 13 states that seceded from the Union. This is the General Leonidas Polk's corps flag of the Army of Tennessee. Bold and audacious. And then here's one from Missouri. This is the battle flag of the Trans-Mississippi, whatever that was. And, of course, you recognize this as the cross. Most people think, okay, this is the only one. And because they associate that with the Ku Klux Klan and skinheads and all these other things, they think, oh, well, that's to be scorned. And then everybody jumped on the bandwagon. It's insanity. Well, what they should recognize is that this is only one of the several battle flags. And when they talk about the KKK, the biggest rally that the KKK ever had was a big parade in 1962 in Washington, D.C. And it was the KKK, and guess what flag it was flying? The Stars and Stripes. Remember, I showed you that a week or so ago, whatever, to show, and I also said that the slavery was under the Stars and Stripes for 89 years and the Confederacy only 4 years. I am not trying to demean our country. I'm not trying to in any way delude what our country used to be. What I'm trying to do is point out what it's become and the insanity that's going on, and I'm trying to help you stand for what is true and what is right, because most people don't have a clue. Today, before I came here, I was at Hart's Chicken. I was checking out, and I had this book because I wanted to read a few more excerpts out of it. Had it on my arm like this as I was checking out. And the guy said, "Hey, that's quite a book you have there." I said, "Yeah." I said, "But the name isn't right." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, it says the Civil War." I said, "What's the Civil War?" "Civil War is when the people try to overthrow the government, and that's not what happened. They seceded, they withdrew in order to maintain their freedom and their rights." He said, "Oh." And I said, do you know why the South seceded? I mean, there was people around. I didn't care. And he was wanting to talk, so I was letting him have it. And he said, he started to speak, then he thought, maybe I better not. I said, "I bet you were going to say slavery, didn't you?" "You wouldn't say." I said, "No." I said, "Slavery was an issue. It was an issue, but it wasn't the issue." I said, "The same things that we are facing today were the same things that they were facing then. And that has to do with the sovereignty of the states, the rights of the people in those states, and the right for those states to be sovereign. And for remedies when it's not, things such as nullification, interposition, and secession." And he was going, he kind of looked like that. He said, "Are you a professor?" I said, "No, I'm a pastor." He said, "Oh, well, where do you teach this stuff?" I said, "Well, I teach it at church." "You don't teach it in the schools?" I said, "No." I started to say, "Well, it's somebody ought to." And you know, he had never heard anything like that before. And I could tell because he asked me where I taught. He wanted more. Now, it doesn't have to be me. You don't have to be a pastor. You can pass along these things. And listen, there's a lot of people out there that will lap it up because they've never heard such a thing before. Dr. Jim yesterday was at this old folks center. I don't know what the right terminology for it is. But anyway, he was teaching these people, and they had signed up to register to get his class. And so he just started teaching like he already always does. And he started out by saying the first class was, I think, a religion class, and the next one was history class. And so he was teaching about the four Greek conditional clauses. And all he did was go through that, and he said those people were going. He said people came up after and said, "I never heard of that before in my life. That's the greatest thing I ever heard." He said, "Well, now when you read this, don't put it in the third class every time. You need to know it's the first class, second class, third class, or fourth class." And she said, "Well, how would I know?" He said, "That's what you have a pastor for. He should be able to tell you." And so some guy came in and sat down. He was coming from somewhere, had some time to kill, and he heard what was going on, and he was just riveted. When he came in, he says, "I'm not registered, but it's all right if I sit down and listen." He said, "Sure, go ahead." And when it was over, he stayed for the next thing, which was the history part. And so these people, and he said these people were coming up. Why? He said, "When I was teaching," he said, "their eyes were this big." He said, "They had never heard the things that I was teaching, and they can't get enough." So there is positive volition out there. People are desperate for truth. They just have to know that it's okay. I wrote this Tolerating Tyranny mainly for this reason, is for people to understand you don't have to say yes unconditionally. In fact, a lot of time God expects you and holds you accountable to say no. That's what's not happening these days. Because people don't have the knowledge, they don't have the courage, and they don't have the understanding. They think that the Bible is forcing them. Oh, if you're a good citizen, if you're a good Christian, you obey the law. Yeah, you do when it's moral and constitutional. And when the people in government are acting as ministers of God for good, absolutely, you do. But you know what they are when they are not upholding their oath of office and when they are going outside their realm of jurisdiction, of authority? Do you know what they are? Do you know what you could call them? Criminals. Outlaws, because they're outside the law. And they took an oath to uphold that law. And now they are ignoring it. And they will lock up people who will stand and say, wait a minute, this isn't what the law says. Well, you're in contempt of court. Haul him off. Give him 90 days in jail and a $1,000 fine. You think it doesn't happen? That's what happened to Bill Ross. Oh, I'm down. I'm past time again. Sorry about that. No, I didn't. I hadn't been through there. Oh, did they? Yeah. Can you hit the lights for me, Vidal? Or anything? Did you say Navasota? Okay. Oh, yeah, when you turn left at that light and you're going up. No? Oh, coming in, it's on the right. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Okay. Ask Mr. Garth. Garth, are you going to sell them?
Oh, yeah, I
I mean, they're just trying to erase our history and pervert it and say that. And this, see, do you understand how detrimental and how evil political correctness is? It's just ravaging the country, and Christians need to stand up and say, no. If I want to fly a Confederate flag, or if I want to fly the Mickey Mouse flag, whatever I want to do, I have the right to do it. Nobody's going to say you can't. You can't do it. And there's still people like Garth, and my hat is off to him. It sounds to me like he doesn't give a hoot what political correctness is if somebody wants to buy a flag. And listen, that is the honorable flag. It is the one that stood for honor and integrity and for the Constitution. What, the ISIS? Oh, the swastika? No? Oh, the rainbow. See, you're a racist bigot and you're discriminating. Well, this time just flew. I had every intention of going to Colossians because, do you remember when we got stuck in the mud over that issue of Jacob's brothers and that type of thing? I got that all sorted out. I'm not going to say. You have to come next time to find out. Oh, I don't know. Let me think. I'll tell you after. I put a little thought in it. It stems from Colossians because slavery is very much alive today, not only in the discussions we have here, but around the world. And that's one of the things this author says, is that the people that are ravaging the Confederate flag, or ignoring all these countries in Africa that ongoing. Look at ISIS taking slaves, making slaves of people, slaughtering them, all these things. Their flag, they're not saying their flag stands for slavery. And do you know that there was an agreement made when the South was defeated that the North was wanting to make sure that they weren't going to rise up again? And the South agreed to not rise up again, and that they would become again part of the Union. And they kept their word, because throughout history, they were fighting under the Stars and Stripes. They kept their word. And what the North agreed to do was to not tarnish the image of their flag or the honorable soldiers that died in that war. And I have that. It's right in here. I was going to read it to you. I ran out of time. The South Cape that kept their word, but look what's happening with that contract that was made. And people don't know about that either, but anyway. Can't believe it's nearly 10 past over. Okay, let's close. Father, we're so thankful that you are the God of freedom and that you are with anyone who stands for truth and righteousness. Today it seems like not many people know what the truth or righteousness is. But we are here to be your servants and to stand for truth and righteousness and in love inform anyone who has an ear to hear. We pray that you will give us a burning desire for the challenge before us to not shrink away from the duty that we have in representing Jesus Christ, not only for salvation, but for freedom as well, because if the civil freedoms are lost, the religious freedoms are right behind. And we just pray that you will guide us in what we say, what we do, and as we struggle with these issues, but keeping most important in our soul that we are responsible to you and we are to obey you rather than man when man is in conflict with you. We thank you for who and what you are and for the grace that we have, the time that we have left, whatever it is, whatever is on the agenda, only you know it, that you will help us to stand firm and with courage and with grace to those who are ready to hear. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, there it is. First of all, here is the first flag. I went to a website to get this so you could really see what all these flags look like in vivid color, but this wouldn't pick it up. But I did get this one, but I got another picture of the Confederate flag that you probably would have never seen and would find it hard to believe. And this is what I want you to see. That is a Confederate soldier, a black Confederate soldier with the stars and bars behind him, and he is looking at a U.S. That would be the Yankee water canteen there, and he is this was about 10 years after the war ended, and he has his uniform on there because he was one of the blacks that fought in the Confederacy with the stars and bars behind him. Do you think the media would ever put anything like that out? I mean, that's anathema to their agenda. But I just want to show you that the picture says a lot that skews all the prevalent thinking that you have today. Anyway, just wanted you to see that because I didn't want to have to come back and... Huh? Totally misguided, yes. On purpose. All right, sorry.